Welcome to Baseball America's College Podcast. Baseball America, bringing you baseball news you can't get anywhere else for more than 35 years. Now it's time to talk college baseball.
Hey everybody, John Manuel and JJ Cooper. We had some technical difficulties today with our Facebook Live, but Carlos Collazo is jumping in to be the Linwood Webb and the cameraman of this event.
Going with the shaky cam.
That's right. So thanks, Carlos. We want to thank everybody for tuning in to today's Baseball America podcast and Facebook Live. Our podcast and Facebook Live broadcasts are sponsored by Baseballism. Baseballism is the official off-the-field brand of baseball, offering apparel for men, women, and kids. Shop Baseballism.com to receive 20% off. If you visit Baseballism.com, enter the code BA2017, you receive free shipping on your next order. That's Baseballism.com, BA2017 is the code. You can rock either of our shirts. I was talking to a friend of mine who watched the Facebook Live, ordered the shirt, used the code, got the discount, and she was saying that was she made a Common Core joke about your shirt, which is pretty funny. So shout out to Shannon Anderson for the joke about Facebook Live. And even if we disagree on Common Core, we agree on Baseballism and how cool it is. So we probably also would agree on how cool the Futures game is. The Futures game, JJ, is I know it's very high on the event horizon for you and me in terms of ranking our favorite BA events.
It's number one.
It's number one for you?
I mean,
you can't decide if it's number one for me or the Cowdell Series. The Cowdell Series is great until you're there too long. I'm never there too long, but sometimes you're there 2 weeks and it is
grind city. Like when I think of, I don't think I've gone to a Futures game and walked away going, yeah, not much, you know, I won't remember anything from this. There's something always.
Right.
You know, and
I thought you were going to answer
Rule 5 drafts are out there too.
Rule 5 draft and Carolina League Home Run Derby.
Carolina League Home Run Derby is nice too. But
and then JJ and I, it's about a year ago, and this was not on the script. It was about a year ago that JJ and I went to Fort Bragg for the Marlins, that Marlins Brave game. And I'm from Fayetteville originally, and JJ is a military history and military hardware buff. And first of all, just to be around those two big league teams, seeing a big league game in North Carolina was awesome. But second of all, the flyover.
That's a top 10 event.
It's like the best video I ever shot. It's just the flyover and then zoom into JJ. And JJ's look of wonder on your face was just, it's like my all-time favorite JJ moment. You were so happy.
The helicopter started out, I felt like below us. So like when you're looking up from the top of that stadium.
It was awesome. It's just really cool to see one of your friends that happy. You were just so happy. You were at a baseball game with two teams like that. We had Ichiro and Bonds in front of us. We had just the scene of that and then the helicopter flyover. So,
But
from every year.
Other top 10 moment. Joey Gallo, BP in Minnesota Target Field ranks up there. Because it was like, I knew it would be great. And then it was as epic as I had hoped.
It was all we were looking for. I agree. Joey Gallo, that's one of those signature ones. I always remember the one in Anaheim because it was Mike Trout as a low A ball guy, and we hadn't seen him before, at least in the minor leagues, and just seeing him up close and personal saying, oh, well, that's why they compared him to Brian Urlacher. He has no hair, and he has no neck, and he's just a giant muscle.
And he turns in four flats to.
He was incredible. He just had such power and speed. It was really hard for us to comprehend, but also that whole game was all SoCal players. That was a fun one for me.
Another one for me is the thing, again, it's BPs that stand out a lot of times, but I remember Carlos Correa matching Miguel Sano home run for home run and distance of home run for distance home run. That was in that was at New York
City Field.
So, and the thing that stood out about that is it's like, no, for raw power, Correa's there with Sano. And that was an eye-opener for me because you knew he had good power.
Question.
But it was like, I mean, Sano was considered one of those, like, the greatest raw power in the minors at the time.
With good reason. Look at what he's done in the major leagues.
He's really good.
That guy hits no cheapies.
Again, that reminds me of John and I going to Elizabeth Efton.
See, I was trying to avoid that one, but I'm so glad you went there.
Miguel Sano, shortstop Miguel Sano, looking not a lot different than the body type that you see from Miguel now.
A little different, but he was 6'4", 232 is what he was listed at. I remember telling you, he looks like Hanley Ramirez now. And that was like in 2010.
Nico Goodrum and him taking infield. Goodrum, it looked like that Altuve Aaron Judge photo.
Except for like the wide, small, skinny.
What width instead of height. You know?
Nico's getting bigger. He's not that big, though. I don't think he'll ever be that
big. Neither of those guys are going to be big league shortstop.
But the rest of the BP group, that was great beeps. Sano, Nico Goodrum, Eddie Rosario, and Kenneth Vargas as an NDFA. Pretty good beeps. We've seen some good beeps. And my favorite one is way back in the day, it was David Wright, B.J. Upton, Delmon Young, I'll take a BP in Houston, and then Aaron Hill was the last guy in the group. And Aaron Hill was like my guy. I'd like covered him out of high school. I covered him at an LSU Tulane game in the Superdome in 2003. So I see him there. Aaron Hill was like, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing in this group. This is ridiculous. And then the next day, so after the Futures game, that's one of the few times I've actually stayed through to the All-Star game. And I remember the next day being in line. There was an event at the Aquarium in Houston. Pretty sure it was at the Aquarium. And they had, like, all the All-Stars were there. And I was waiting in line for Shrimp Scampi with Mariano Rivera. And I'm just sitting there going, like, oh, my God, that's Mariano Rivera. So we're a little less – we're not around the big leaguers as much at all. So I'm still a little starstruck. Mariano Rivera was Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
I get a little starstruck. So I don't get starstruck at the Futures game. I get excited. I don't get starstruck. Mariano Rivera, I'm going to get starstruck. I'm not going to be ashamed about that one. But we aren't going to be starstruck tomorrow or Friday, Saturday, I should say.
Sunday you'll be for the game.
You're flying down tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Saturday is the Baseball America Prospect Pad. We will be entertaining a lot of the minor leaguers who come through for the Futures game and some of the high school players, hopefully, will be there for the Junior Home Run Derby, which will be cool. Last year, you and I shot video of Hunter Green and Royce Lewis Home Run Derby. Nick Bruiser. I remember Nick Bruiser was there. I should have brought my notebook. And the notebook I took notes with is right on my desk. But that event's pretty cool. But the game is Sunday, but the prospect pad, I would definitely stay tuned to Facebook Live, to Baseball America's Facebook page, facebook.com/BaseballAmericaMag.
Which you probably know because
you're on it right now. Or our Instagram channel, or baseballamerica.com. You'll see a lot of coverage from us all day on Saturday for the prospect pad, and then, of course, Sunday for the game. JJ, who are you most looking forward to seeing in the game itself? I mean, maybe the prospect pad is somebody you want to interview, but who are you looking most forward to? Whose batting practice are you looking forward to seeing most? Who's going to be the future guy that you'll tell stories about?
I don't know if it'll be the BP, but I know the guy that I'm looking forward to the most is Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Correct.
That is the answer.
That is the answer.
There's nothing against, there are many other really good prospects in this game, but Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is the guy who... the hype preceded him.
Yes.
He's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Let's start with...
no pressure.
Right. Let's start with if he'd have basically been the prospect of cousin Gabriel Guerrero.
Yeah.
There would have been, he's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I mean, it's the hype that you just kind of carry with that. His name is his dad's name.
There are a bunch of futures, number one draft picks here, first rounders. High draft guys, big money guys. He's in a class by himself.
But the raves that you hear from scouts who have gone to see Guerrero this year, that Lansing club, and they see Bobichette also. It's a great club.
Bobichette.
But the raves that you see about Vladimir, you hear about Vladimir Guerrero, his hit plus power, it really is. I mean, the best way to put it is this was the stage that last year Eloy Jimenez had a great futures game, really kind of stood out as a guy, you know, in A ball. And you look at it now and you say, okay, what you heard about Eloy, because Eloy's value is almost all tied up in the bat.
Right. No question.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Even more so this year, he's playing a lot of DH because of the leg injuries.
The hamstring and all. But Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I know he's playing third base, the value is all tied in the bat. You don't really find a whole lot of scouts. I've not talked to a scout who went, man, his defense at third.
Right.
It is.
You have talked to guys this year who've said, you know, he wasn't as bad at third as I thought. That's really what you get out of him. You're basically like, we're kind of talking about him defensively the way we used to talk about Pedro Alvarez. You know, that's actually a recent similar guy in terms of everyone knew Pedro was a big boy, could get bigger. People liked Pedro Alvarez's bat. A lot. He was the second overall pick. And he won a home run title in the National League and still has been a disappointment. But people talk about Vladimir's bat in a completely different way.
Oh, that,
and the separating...
way ahead.
That's it. And he's got the name, and he has the no gloves, you know, no batting gloves, the similar stance. But he's really not a similar hitter to his dad, JJ, because he controls the strike zone to an insane level.
We can say this because we actually are both old enough that I covered Vladimir Guerrero Sr.
It's like the John and JJ
at the same stage in his career.
It's a John and JJ origin story. Right. We were at the same South Atlantic League All-Star game and didn't know it. We didn't know each other.
But I had the good fortune. I was in the division.
Correct.
I was covering the Macon Braves for 70-something games that year. And I was in the division.
Lots of the Albany Polecats.
Right. I saw the Albany Polecats on a regular basis. And even at that time, Vladimir Sr. was amazing. He was incredible. But he was the guy who the ball would bounce and he would golf it out of the park. His son is the guy who, with a 3-2 count, gets that slider that is just off the edge of the plate, spits at it, walks to first. Or if it's 2-2, he does that, and then the pitcher comes back with the next pitch with a fastball, more on the plate, and he destroys it. That's what he does because he has extremely advanced understanding the strike zone, plate discipline, and understanding his swing for a guy who still could be in high school if he was in the U.S.
Vlad Jr. has already walked more in his year in the Midwest League halfway through it, maybe a little bit more than halfway through it, than Vlad Sr. did. He had 30 walks, only 45 strikeouts the year for Albany. You don't walk or strike out your way off the island, apparently, for Vlad Sr. So Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is clearly the guy that we all want to see. I do think Bo Bichette is one of the other guys because he's been famous for a while, besides having the big league dad and the older brother who was drafted. He was in a lot of his high school showcases. He's got this. I mean, how many times have you and I both had to edit Hudson Belinsky writing about him in high school with the high elbow fire? And the hitting mechanics are still pretty unique. But, J.J., if we had to pick a minor league player of the year at this point, Bo Bichette would be probably the favorite, right? I mean, I know he's tailed off a bit the last week only because he's not hitting 400 anymore.
Right. Although he is, I do believe, still a career 400 hitter for his minor league career.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that he's doing that in the Midwest League. We're talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hitting over 300 in the Midwest League. That's great.
Yeah, Bo Bichette hitting 383.
Hitting 383, which...
with 32 doubles already.
It's insane. Like, no, to me, he's at the midseason, he is, when you consider the age that he is, he's the kind of the runaway midseason player of the year. Now, he's got to do it over the second half of the season.
Right.
But at this point, there's been some guys who are having good years, but Francisco Mejia is having a really good year. But it's the guy.
Bo knows. Kevin Roter asks, or maybe it's Rodert, asks, how big is Vlad Jr.? He's listed at 6'1", 200, JJ. I believe you think he's bigger than that.
Right. He has, like you said, it's a very different body than his father.
He does not quite have the high pockets of his old man.
It is not like, if you are our age, you remember the live, skinny, twitchy.
High pockets. His butt started right about here. I mean, he just had those long legs, long arms, short torso, and sinewy body.
Whereas Vladimir Jr.
is not sinewy.
He's a thicker guy. I mean, and that was always expected. This is not a surprise. When you talk about, him when he was coming up and we had not even signed yet, it was always said, no, this guy's going to be, he's going to be a thicker, not the runner that his dad is.
And Michael Bailey asks, does he have his dad's throwing arm? He does not have his dad's throwing arm, correct?
So few do.
Right. But I mean, his arm actually has improved moving from the outfield to third base. It's a shorter arm stroke than it was in the outfield. He's actually been kind of playable at third base, it sounds like, but I don't think anyone expects him to be. It doesn't sound like the expectations are that he's going to be a third baseman or an impact defender. Like you said, the value is in the bat.
Again, and I say
he's not even Josh Donaldson.
But the comparison that you get, because people do compare him as a hitter to Miguel Cabrera.
Right.
Which, you want to talk about lofty.
That's a pretty good comp.
But he is Miguel. If he's Miguel Cabrera, Miguel Cabrera at that age was a shortstop who was going to have to move to third. He's 10 years further on in the Miguel Cabrera process.
Probably true.
Whereas he is where Miguel Cabrera was, where he was a third baseman, like, we'll see how many more years he'll do that before he'll move to first or left.
We've also had that comparison thrown on Eloy Jimenez. So there's some the world team.
This is a world team that is.
The lineup's going to be loaded because those two guys, plus Rafael Devers, who was in the game in Cincinnati 2 years ago as a low A guy, now he's in double A. He already had a good swing at that time and was polished enough for a 18-year-old that we thought he could handle the Futures game. I remember him looking bad in that Futures game, but he's not going to look bad in this game, I don't think. This guy's, I think he's one of the lead. To be a Red Sox prospect who's fairly hyped, I still think he's almost underrated, JJ. He's really, really good.
Ronald Acuna, Victor Robles. I mean, this
Estevan Florial is a low-A guy, but toolsy as all. He is more like young Vladimir in terms of his tools than Vlad Jr.
Than young Vladimir.
Right. So, I mean, Victor Robles, this is an incredibly talented. I mean, among prospect rankings, the lowest-ranked world outfielder might be Alex Verdugo. Is it Alex Verdugo or Florial?
Florial.
I guess it's Florial, but Verdugo's already in AAA.
Knocking on the door.
Yeah, this is a, and we haven't even mentioned our number one prospect, Yoan Moncada.
Oh yeah,
is on this team as well. So this is a really loaded team. Ahmed Rosario, another top five, top 10.
Is catching on this team. I mean,
so Team World is going to show up and show out. I would expect, and maybe fashion a 2-game win streak. Who are you most interested to see on the U.S. team? I'm kind of fascinated to see Brendan Rodgers because he's also the other contender, really, for like minor league player of the year with Bo Bichette. He also hit 400. Granted, it was in Lancaster. Degree of difficulty lower than in the Midwest League. But he's gone to double A and started to hit there again, JJ. I'm pretty fascinated to see when you're Brendan Rodgers and Dansby Swanson and Alex Bregman were already drafted ahead of you. There's some expectations to be that third pick. And you might put him on yourself, might pressure yourself. He seems like he's just kind of going with the flow and at his own pace and is moving fairly quickly.
I'll go with the 6'7 lefty, A.J. Puck.
And okay, that's a good one, too.
I say that because...
We're sticking with Central Florida.
I'm saying that because with Puck taking a step forward this year, much more kind of the guy that we expected to see really last year coming into the draft.
Yes.
Didn't all go really that well for him. Fell to the A's. Looks like the A's may have gotten a steal there, but I'm pretty excited to see him.
Already double A, yeah, like you said.
I want to see Michael Kopech. I wonder how much Michael Kopech is going to stay under control, or let's just hope that just for a little bit he just goes, you know what, one inning.
We can't just have Billy the Marlin walk behind home plate, just accidentally get dosed by Michael Kopech when he's back there. That would be awesome. No offense, Billy.
Thiago Vieira, Michael Kopech, I want those to pitch in the same inning. So it's like 104, 104.
That could be good. Last but not least, I'm interested to see Rhys Hoskins. We've written about Rhys Hoskins a lot. Again, a sneaky prospect, a guy Ben Battler really, really high on coming into the year. And I just always go back to the fact that 4 years ago, I think it was, maybe 5 years ago, Rhys Hoskins went to the Cape Cod League and really hit and came out of the Cape as a dude and came out of the spring as not a dude. And that's when the bats were at their deadest. Baseballs were like softballs. They just weren't tight. And he hit 5 home runs that spring for Sacramento State. And wound up in the 5th or 6th round, I guess it was the 5th round, and all that guy has done as a pro is just mash. His story parallels, in some degree, Ryan Howard's for the Phillies. Ryan Howard was a 6th round pick out of college. He was a little higher profile in college. He had a terrible junior season. Phillies got him in the 6th round. The guy wound up winning an MVP and helping them win a World Series. I'm not saying Rhys Hoskins will do that. I'm saying he has hitting ability and power. He's a first baseman who the Phillies got without a premium pick. I'm just really intrigued by Rhys Hoskins. I want to see his BP.
One difference is that whereas Howard was blocked by Jim Thome.
Yes.
Hoskins is blocked by
nobody.
Tommy Joseph.
Yeah, exactly. Not the same.
So
Joseph, not a nobody. I apologize.
Right. Tommy Joseph, though, a little bit, that's not a potential Hall of Famer blocking him. I did like the question here.
Michael Bailey asked again. Yep.
Does Acuna have the arm to play right? Absolutely.
Ronald Acuna has the arm to do. He pretty much has the athletic ability and the arm to play wherever the hell he wants.
If we're going with old school 1995 Cy League references, which
I started with it. We're going to end with it.
I'm all for doing this. I have, you know, had a scout say, like, he reminds me a little bit of Andrew. Not the defender and center that Andrew Jones is, because
Who is?
I think you could make the argument that Andrew Jones may be the greatest defensive center fielder of all time. It's a hard argument to make because you say Willie Mays, I say Andrew Jones, and our answer is
What about like Gary Maddux? Who, like, these guys who were only there for their defense? I mean, what, the water covered three quarters of the earth, and Gary Maddux covered the rest, right? That kind of stuff. So you've had some of those types of players, but in our era, the last 25 years, I think Andrew Jones the best one, and the Braves aren't shy about comparing Acuña to him. They're just not shy about it. They did it at the winter meetings to us and said, "You guys are light on Acuña. We ran him up, but we didn't run him up high enough."
Yeah,
you know. Well, as it turned out,
our midseason update comes out tomorrow. I think we may have rectified that in our midseason update.
I just want to note for the record. Here's some of the guys on that 95 Albany Polecats team, by the way. Javier Vasquez.
Javier Vasquez, Brad Fulmer, Vladimir Guerrero, Hiram Bocachica.
Bob Henley, who went up a big league catcher and has been a longtime coach in the Nats organization. All-time personal cheeseball, Fernando Seginal, I think scouting in Japan or maybe he's scouting here for Japanese teams because he played in Japan for a long time. Jason DeRocher. Tommy Phelps in the Billy, Mike Thurman, who now scouts for the Yankees of Pacific Northwest. That was a team. Those are some dudes. Oh, yeah. Troy Mattis.
Oh, yeah.
But
I'll still take my 95 Macon Braves over that.
Because you had Andrew?
I had Andrew. See how my Macon Braves run together.
I had four big leaguers on the Hickory Crawdads that year, but the best one was probably
Carlos Lee.
He was there for the first half. Nelson Cruz. What was the other guy's name?
Nelson.
Mario Valdez. Nelson Cruz, the right-hander. Not NC Boomstick.
Yeah.
Not him. The bad Nelson Cruz, but still a guy who got to the big leagues. Mario Valdez, the first baseman for the A's for a while. I forget the fourth guy, but he was a cup of coffee guy. Our All-Stars were former...
There was like eight Macon Braves from that year who made that.
The All-Stars that I drove 8 hours to cover were both former scabs. They'd crossed the picket lines, played in the strike games in spring training, and their reward was, okay, we'll give you a contract for this year. They were both 24 years old. One of them a former Fullerton guy, Friedrich.
I was covering Andrew Jones and Ron Wright. And
Captain Caveman, Ron Wright.
Yeah.
That's
one
awesome.
Game, triple play.
And that's his only big league at bat.
No, he had one game.
Oh, it's only, okay,
but
one game.
But he had a triple play in that one game.
We could go on. We will go on our podcast, but I think Carlos's arms are getting tired.
And the battery's running out on my phone.
That works as well. Greg Posine asks, who's the starting pitcher for the United States? JJ, have those been announced yet?
I don't think they have. Usually that happens on Saturday.
Who do you want to see start? The U.S. starting pitching staff is pretty good. I would like to see Cal Quantrill start for the world.
Cal Quantrill would be great for the world.
He'd be a great great world starter. I would love to see Puck or Brett Honeywell.
You know,
he's a AAA guy.
You know, there's a lot of guys you could go well with here. I mean, Tristan McKenzie, Jack Flaherty.
We need to take Tristan McKenzie out for some Cuban food. I mean, he's already from South Florida, but I mean, 165, we can do better than that. Hang with me, Tristan. I'll fatten you up good. I'm there for you. So we had a lot of fun on this Facebook Live. We're gonna have a lot of fun this weekend again. I would check your phone Saturday, see who's at the Baseball America prospect pad. We're going to have it open from noon to 8, so just check our Twitter feeds. Check the at Baseball America Twitter feed. It'll let you know who's live on our Instagram, who we might be live with Facebook on, who we post a video to baseballamerica.com with, and we'll have all kinds of crazy coverage on Sunday, including the often imitated, never duplicated J.J. Cooper batting practice, plotting where all the home runs are.
I have to print out the photos today to be ready for it.
It's big time. It's a scene, man. I mean, all I do is write a column. JJ goes above and beyond, so this was fun as usual. Yeah. JJ, we hadn't done a Facebook Live in a while. I'm sorry that I missed it. So.
Yeah, I was gonna say we had to last. You know, we're a little late this week. We apologize for that, but there was the fourth, so we were not coming in on the fourth to record a Facebook.
Well, we didn't even talk draft signing deadline. It's been crazy. So it's a crazy week. Looking forward to it being over. Looking forward to getting to Miami, and want to thank you, our followers, for tuning in today. Our podcast and Facebook Live are sponsored by Baseballism. Visit baseballism.com for the best apparel in baseball. Enter the code BA2017, receive 20% off your next order. For JJ Cooper, I'm John Manuel. And thanks, Carlos. See you on the next Baseball America Facebook Live. So long, everybody.
This concludes our program. Want more in-depth baseball coverage? be a better fan. Visit BaseballAmerica.com to get more comprehensive baseball coverage.